Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb, the Tuesday edition as we roll along here on SportsMap Radio. What is the good of the day? Let's get right to it.
You know, there is a lot of good to choose from, but there's one that, you know, we really haven't touched on yet. And that's Shohei Ohtani. We haven't talked about him enough.
Oh, no, we've talked about Shohei Ohtani.
But have we talked about him enough? I mean, think about it. I mean, I think we almost need to have a segment
a
day
a whole
with
segment
what he's
on
doing.
Him. We got a whole segment on him living in Los Angeles and not being on the front pages of or being on television screens every
And that's why
night.
I think we need to talk about him more. He's not getting enough publicity.
Yeah, but don't say we didn't talk about Shohei Ohtani.
But what I'm bringing up is the fact that, you know, yes, he made the All-Star team. He's a pitcher and a position player, which is unreal. And another stat that I saw the other day was that out of his last seven hits, all seven of those were home runs.
I know. He's pretty incredible.
It's absolutely ridiculous what this guy's doing.
He really is incredible. Yeah, the last time we talked about him with Steve Gardner was he had a really bad pitching outing against the Yankees, but the night before he had hit two home runs.
Yeah. And then night after that he hit a couple more home runs. I guess, you know, the only bad thing with him being a pitcher is that, you know, if you take him out of the lineup, you're taking him out of the game.
Is he gonna do two things at the All-Star game? Joe Madden was saying that he's okay with. Do you think he ends up doing
I think that's what I've heard.
Is
that
bats?
Yeah.
Is he going to do that?
I think he is.
I'll tell you right now, Joe Madden should be that's a great thing to do. I would not want my player doing that. I'd say either hit or pitch, but you're not going to play both.
What I imagine is that he'll probably start off as a hitter, and then they'll bring him in for an inning because that's what the fans want.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. That's what they should do. They should do that.
And then just let it be, and then let everyone else. Because he's also participating.
I would want him to bat. Like, I'd want him in the lineup to bat until you take him out like you normally take out a starter in an All-Star game, not get one at-bat as a pitcher.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's why you got to start him off as a hitter first.
Right. So he's got to play a position, be in the lineup, maybe get a couple of at-bats like the starters sometimes do, and then they get taken out of the game. Like, it's what you do in the All-Star game.
Yeah, because if you start him off as a pitcher,
then he can't play, then he can't bat.
He might pitch one inning. That's
right.
It.
Right. He pitches one inning, and then he can't participate the way you want him to participate in terms of the plate. So put him out there, let him be a part of the lineup, and then bring him into pitch.
Now, I saw this video yesterday of him that still has me, it blows my mind, is when he was playing for Japan during the World Baseball Classic. And this is before he came to the United States. He literally hit a home run out of a domed stadium.
That's pretty great. How did he do that?
It just, you know, the stadium kind of reminds
its exit.
The stadium kind of reminds me of Tropicana Field, where it's a low roof and it fell into one of the seams of the roof. And just it disappeared.
That's great.
So first he was round the bases like it's a home run. I think they eventually called it a ground rule double, but they didn't show that part. They just showed the part of the ball exiting the roof.
Did everybody get a free steak?
They should, like that, right?
If a player hits it out of the dome, everybody gets a free ribeye.
Kobe
at
beef.
Joe's Steakhouse. Yeah, or Kobe beef. That's a good one. Kobe beef at $100 a steak.
That'd I mean, over there in Kobe, they just call it beef.
Right. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, we don't do this time and time again, but this one I saw yesterday, and it kind of bothered me a little bit that Richard Donner passed away. Not that he passed away, because he was 90-plus years old. That's
right.
A good life, and he led a great life. But I saw one writer, I'd put him down as the most underrated director of all time.
Yeah, there was he's done a lot of different things. I just know him for Superman. What else was he?
The Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon movies.
Goonies.
Oh, did he do Goonies?
Yeah,
that's cool.
He was part of. I think he directed
Goonies.
Goonies.
Okay.
So, I mean, a lot of classics.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Because I know, like, the Superman with Christopher Reeves and Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando. There was always talk about the Donner cut, and he would get that version because they filmed Superman 1 and Superman 2 together, but then a different director stepped in and was kind of a mess. But yeah, that was sad to hear that.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know he was still alive. So, I mean, I wasn't too broken up over the fact that he died.
Right.
But it was just the fact of, is he, I literally was trying to rack my head. It's like, is he the most underrated director? Because in a way, it kind of makes sense because he made some iconic movies and
You know, is it bad because he died, or is it bad because people don't know his legacy?
His legacy.
I gotcha. Okay.
You know, because, I mean, even you sat there, it's like, oh, what else did he do? And it's like, Lethal Weapon's like, oh, yeah, he did do all those movies, which are, you know, brought the buddy cop drama, or cop buddy. Is it buddy cop? Cop buddy.
Yeah.
No, buddy cop.
Well, dramas. You know, here's the thing. I don't want to put the onus on me to know what everybody's done. Either it infiltrates into my brain or it doesn't, right? It's not my responsibility to look up every single person's resume to see their, but unfortunately with Richard Donner, I just know him from the Superman movies and the Goonies now, and I'm excited about that, and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
So I forgot about Lethal Weapon. I had known that, but I did not know the Goonies. Like, that's cool. I like the Goonies. That was a good movie.
That was a fantastic movie. And I hope they never do a Goonies remake. Because if they do,
are they planning on doing that?
There's been rumors. There's been rumors of that or a sequel.
Oh, okay.
Like, many, many years later with the same cast. Which, you know what? Just give us the reunion show and we're fine. We don't need an entire movie.
Remember a couple weeks ago I told you I saw Rocky from start to finish?
Yes.
And I was, you know, I had never really had done that in a very, very long time. I just always just saw bits and pieces. Superman's kind of the same thing. I see it bits and pieces, but I haven't watched from start to finish Superman, the movie, in a very, very long time.
You know what? I'm with you on that one.
Right?
I can't even think the last time I saw, I mean... For whatever reason, I always see the helicopter scene.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
I love that scene. I love that scene where Lois is hanging by a seatbelt on top of that building. And Clark Kent looks up and he goes into a revolving door.
Yeah.
And comes out as Superman. And he just goes, excuse me. And shoots himself straight up in the air to catch Lois, who's falling. It's fantastic. The music to Superman is unbelievable.
Yes.
One of the best
John Williams.
John Williams was great. That song is so good. Really brings you. And you know what? Of all the Supermans that have come, you know, the different ones, that's still the best.
Now he's
that
still,
one in Superman 2.
Yeah, he's still the best. You know, I have a soft spot for Superman 3 just because I like Richard Pryor in it.
Yeah, it's not a great story. And
it's a terrible story.
Robert Vaughn is in it, but it's you know what else about Christopher Reeve that made him such a good Superman? And this, I think, is important. If you're going to play Superman, and this is good, all of you actors out there, if you ever get the role of Superman, you really have to play the Clark Kent role really well. It has to be two totally, like when he's Superman, he's one person. And when he's Clark Kent bumbling around, he's a completely different person.
It's almost like you have to concentrate more on the Clark Kent role.
Right, right.
Than Superman. Because I think everyone, you can act like a hero, you know, put your hands at your hips and you got the muscles. You look like a hero already. Playing the Clark Kent role, that's the Oscar-worthy part.
That's right, right. That's exactly right. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is Nick Castellanos doing it again.
What is Nick Castellanos doing?
Remember the last time we talked about Nick Castellanos was, you know, and it's a famous, I can't say meme, but it was when Tom Brenneman was giving his apology.
Apology, yeah, and he hit a home run.
And he hit a home run during the apology, and really made the apology seem very unsincere. Well, last night he did it again. The Kansas City Royals broadcasting team was eulogizing a former or a World War II veteran who had passed away, whose son works in the Royals front office, I believe.
And he
hit a home run during the eulogy.
They had to break away from the eulogy to comment on
his home run. So, yeah, I mean, this is his lot in life. He just doesn't care when you're trying to do nice things.
No, when you're trying to make a point on your broadcast, he has a tendency to hit home runs to disrupt you.
And this time it was in a visitor's ballpark. So, I mean, right. Maybe even a little bit more disrespectful.
That was that Brenneman apology when he breaks in for the Nick Castellanos thing is the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard from a broadcaster.
It's the only apology that you will find written many, many times through different tweets.
For people who don't remember the story, Tom Brenneman made a homophobic remark off the air, but he was caught on a hot mic. And so he said, and it was pretty bad. When he came back and they told him he had been on the air, he was issuing an apology knowing his job was going to be terminated. He knew he was getting fired.
Yeah.
Like he knew that was it. And let me tell you, in this day and age, when you do something like that, you know that the mob is coming after you. He probably thought his career was over. Like, he wasn't going to just land another broadcasting gig as soon as the Reds terminated him. He probably thought, oh, shoot, my whole career is down the drain. And then Nick Castellanos hits a home run, and he just breaks off and goes, and Castellanos hits a drive, and that's a home run. And has to go right back to the apology, which is the last thing he's going to say on the air.
Because wasn't he pulled right after that?
I think as soon as he was done, they told him, yeah, they said, that's it. Get off the air.
Yep, you're done.
We got another guy, and then we'll evaluate this. And then they evaluated this, and they let him go.
Yeah. Now what's he up to now?
I have no clue. I have no clue.
Because that's the other thing. I mean, I know we talk about it with coaches all the time that, you know, no matter what you do, you'll find a job as a coach. I almost feel the same way with broadcasters, that there's a limit of time where you can go and, like, okay, well, you know, you've served your sentence now. Come on back.
Yeah. It's one thing, like, if you get fired because when you work as a play-by-play guy, you often work for the team. And maybe, like, you're overly critical, right? And they go, hey, this is not a really good fit for us. You know, hey, we're not asking you to be a cheerleader, but you don't have to bash this organization every 5 minutes. And you go, okay, you might be able to get another gig, right? You might be like, all right, I learned my lesson. I've changed. But when you're toxic like that, people are like, you can't hire that guy. And that's when you can't get gigs again. And I think Brenneman, you know, is in that category.
All right, as of December 8th, 2020, an article he is doing a play-by-play for the Roberto Clemente League in Puerto Rico.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
So
I mean, glad he's doing work, I guess.
Now he's living on an island. Living that island lifestyle, doing play-by-play.
Yeah, in Puerto Rico.
See, they always land on their feet.
Man, I guess so. You might be right.
I'm going to assume it's an all-English broadcast.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure, though, but...
All right. Well, there you go. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Matt Michelle is going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk name, image, and likeness in the new landscape of college athletics. More in the NBA Finals, however, when we come back on Wake Up Call.